Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and Apco Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare. Please welcome my guest today, Ryan. Ryan, thank you for being a part of Forward.
Hey, awesome to be with you, Corey.
So, Ryan, tell our audience a little bit about you. What's your title and the company you work for?
Yeah, so my name is Ryan Maher. I'm the founder and CEO of Busy Car. I'm also a third generation car dealer. So grew up in the auto space. I think I still have a title in the auto group, unless my brother's demoted me. But he and I have a great relationship when it comes to, you know, working the retail side. But I'm the founder and CEO of Busy Car.
Where's your dealership located?
We're based in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
My grandfather started off. He was one of the Volkswagen distributors from the Midwest, and so he started doing that after when he came back from World War II. And my dad and my uncle took over, and now it's kind of transpired to the third generation.
That is awesome. I love that. So tell us a little bit about Busy Car. What is Busy Car?
So Busy Car is a software company that we actually invented in one of our stores. We're tired of hearing about, do you remember the Takata airbag recall?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So we were really just so sick and tired of hearing about Takata. And, you know, my brother and I work most Saturdays. We work retail. And we just bought the team lunch. And we were sitting there and I got an email. I won't tell you which OEM it was from, but I got an email from an OEM. And they said, hey, you have a Takata problem in your backyard. And I was like, oh my goodness. I'm just like so sick and tired of hearing about these Takata airbags. I said, there's just got to be a better mousetrap for fixing this problem. That was 5 years ago. It was like literally a month before COVID started.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we started off by coming up with a different mousetrap for solving recalls on Takata airbags, and it turned into a whole thing.
So how'd you do it?
Yeah. So most of the time, at least on the recall side, like I didn't even know this. Do you know that like there's 70 million cars on the road today with an open recall?
Wow. Really?
Yeah. It's 1 out of 4 vehicles on the road today in the United States have an open recall. And just for like a little bit of context, we recall between 25 and 30 million cars a year in the United States. So it's a, wow. It's a huge number. And we just weren't good as a car dealer. We just weren't good at, you know, managing the OEM system, managing the DMS, managing the parts and supply chain issues. And so I said, there's just gotta be a better way. And so we literally started Busy Car by looking for used vehicles on other dealer lots. That's how we started. No joke. Like I went to another dealer's website, was looking for a used Nissan. And the first VIN number that I found on their website, it was a Subaru dealer. A really good friend of mine actually owns the dealer group, big dealer group. And we went and we found the Nissan, went to the Nissan website, checked it for the recall, and boom. I was like, man, this is great. Our first month, we made $40,000 in sales.
Wow.
Grabbing recalls off other dealers' lots. I know, right? Crazy.
That is crazy. So you had a pain at your dealership and you're like, I'm going to solve it. Right. I like that.
Yeah. It was a real pain point. And you know, there's a lot of dealers that were in my brother's 20 group or that, you know, my dad's been very involved with the, you know, the various OEMs over the years on, you know, National Dealer Council. And, you know, we have some strong dealers in my family, and right, we just weren't good at the technology side of it. And I'd always, you know, if you think about software today, it's no different than like building a car engine, and working the fixed op side. You're just building something different. And if you think about it like that, it's kind of like the world's best Lego set, you know, writing software. It's such a cool thing to build and to do. And so what we've been able to do with that is solve this pain point of warranty recalls and make it so easy for dealers to reach out to customers that have a recall and get them in and get them fixed. And the simplicity is the solution.
All right. I like that. So this episode's titled Mobile Car Care. Does it pencil? Right. And I love this. So let's dive right into this, Ryan. Mobile service is becoming a hot topic in the industry, has been for a long time. And now you got dealers that are starting to really make it work and make it profitable. What's driving this trend and why should small dealerships consider adopting to it?
Yeah. So the trick to mobile is starting with recalls. And so that's everything that, you know, so, you know, quick story on Busy Car. So we, you know, we start off doing recalls on other dealer lots. And then, you know, the technology evolved. You know, we've raised $30 million of venture capital. We got over 100 employees and everybody was telling me, they're like, man, you should build another product. You should do something else. But we don't just build products for the sake of building products. What we do at Busy Car is we identify pain points and we solve those pain points. So I went back and I started looking at all of these text messages that we were sending to our consumers about recalls. We send out a lot of messages, like millions. And one of the most requested items from our customers was, can you repair this in my driveway? And that was that like light bulb moment of, you know, perfect opportunity to pair mobile service with our recall product. So about 2.5 years ago, we started developing what would now become our mobile technician app. And everybody told me it wasn't going to pencil, Corey. Everybody. and we had tried it. I mean, we had tried mobile. I've been, you know, goodness, we've been car dealer for 50 plus years, but we'd only really gotten into the mobile game about 3 or 4 years ago. And it was a disaster. It was not good. And we realized that you had to do two things to make it work. You had to have recalls. You had to have like a predictable revenue stream. And then you had to have simple technology. Those were the key pieces to unlock that value.
So why should smaller dealerships? Because I get the larger groups, you know, you have, you know, a handful of stores or a dozen or 30 or 40 or 60 or whatever, that they can make it pencil, right? But what if I have a dealership that is one or two stores, right? How can I make it work?
Yeah, scale definitely helps with mobile. Scale helps with anything. So I spent a lot of time. So I was at a big OEM conference in November, and I was putting some slides up, you know, there's a room of like, you know, 350, 400 dealers. And this was an OEM that's just starting to get into mobile. And I put a giant, you know, a picture of a giant truck up. And I'm like, this is what people typically think of as mobile repair, right? This $100,000, you know, medium grade commercial vehicle. It's got a high roof. It's got all this expensive technology in there. And then like, how do you staff for it? And yuck, we didn't need any of that. So for those smaller dealers today, I love going around and showing them how to get started with just a small service loaner. So like, no joke, Corey, I will literally talk to dealers that will begin doing mobile service as a dealer using like a Ford Escape.
Oh, really?
Or a Nissan Rogue. Small format. You know, I spent less than $1,000 getting my first Nissan store up and running. Hmm. I took a Rogue that was, you know, we had a lot of Rogues a couple years ago, just sitting on the lot. Popular car, but you know, we had a little excess inventory. And I went to a truck wrap place, like 5 minutes down the street. Spent like $600 wrapping the vehicle. I didn't even wrap the whole thing. I wrapped like the front side doors. And I put a WeatherTech liner in the back, something that you would put like for your dog. And that was it. I mean, we spent like $1,000. And then we started talking like which technician was going to do this. And depending on whether you run four, you know, do you run 412s or 410s or 5/8s, depending on how you run your shop. And we just took a technician that was doing a lot of additional recon work for us. We just put them on the road. And that's how we started with mobile. It was so easy to start with this small form factor. And this is why I'm so glad that Ford Motor Company has now gotten into the Escape, and you know Nissan's doing it now, GM's okay. doing it. And everybody realizes you don't need the giant like F-550 truck. I mean, sometimes you need that for those large operators, but sometimes you just need small format. Just get the vehicle out there and start doing some work.
So out of that $1,000, what was your revenue, you know, that you were making, you know, in the next, let's say the next 90 days, where was it substantial?
Yeah. So this is where recalls are so powerful. It does take time for consumers to get used to something new. And the best example, and I give my dad a lot of credit because he's lived this. He had to sit there in the 90s. Do you remember? I mean, you've been doing this a long time. Do you remember when Express Service was kind of brand new?
Oh, yeah.
That was like, I mean, I was a kid when that happened, and my dad would come home and his service managers were crying foul. Like, we don't do oil changes. Like, this is main shop work. And my dad's like, it's all about customer retention. It's all about getting the customer in the store. And he really believed it. Well, that's mobile service today, right? And everybody's against it. It doesn't pencil. Well, if you compare mobile service to main shop CP work, yeah, like it doesn't pencil. But if you compare mobile service to Express or a retention tool, it beats it back all the time. So like, how did we get started? How did we do it? We started with our mobile truck doing recalls on used car lots. That's how we got started.
Okay.
And I would send that small mobile truck out, and because it takes time to get consumers used to this. And a lot of the times they're like, is this even real? Because you weren't doing like marketing or advertising for it. So we would go out and do some of that work. We'd cover our nut, right? We'd cover the cost of the tech and the vehicle. And then we'd start by doing like a handful of consumer visits a week. And then that handful of visits became a few more. And then you start getting repeat business and becomes more and more. And it takes time. So all of a sudden, 2 years later, and our mobile trucks are thriving because we have an installed customer base.
So once you get that, I like this process that you come up with. So you do go to lots, car dealership lots, and do recalls there till you get, you know, kind of get that vehicle out there. That's, you know, you have it plastered with your logo on it and call us, I'm sure, right?
Bingo.
Once that starts happening and the dealer has made that kind of an investment to launch this program, how can they look at it and measure its success once is, you know, they're starting to get some traction with it and that they're delivering the same quality that they would in their main shop?
Yeah, so I get this question all the time, and I've kind of turned into like this mobile service, like, you know, guru. I spend more time talking about process than technology, this says. But here's how we did it. So we started off with one, if I'm being totally honest, we did buy the big truck first and we realized it wasn't working. Then we got the little truck. And now we have multiple vehicles that we use. And once you figure something out, then you level up, right? That's when you start going and you start getting the bigger truck. So depending on who you talk to, most dealers are going to run, you know, between Express, parts, and labor, let's just call it 52% gross margin in their fixed ops department.
Okay.
Express would be a lot lower, probably like 15-20%. We have our mobile trucks running at 44%. So it's less than main shop. Don't get me wrong. It's less. But when you don't have to buy, you know, you don't have to spend $3 or $4 million of construction adding on to your onto your building. You don't have to, you know, go crazy with all of that. And then you have to upgrade to all your brand standards. Or let's say you're landlocked. If you're in like the Northeast corridor, or you're stuck somewhere in Southern California where there's, you know, you can't add capacity. Mm-hmm. Mobile is such a slam dunk, because you can think of them as like mobile service bays.
Yeah.
And I mean, Corey, there's some stores we work with now that have over 30 mobile vehicles and growing.
Wow. Okay. So now you've gone to the next step, right? You're expanding and you're getting a good customer base. What kind of services are best suited for mobile operation, and how can dealerships ensure a seamless experience for customers in this environment? Because remember, your dealership wants to give the best experience to that customer to keep them coming back, keep that retention number high, and for them, when they're ready to get out of the old vehicle, make sure they come back and see you and buy the next one.
Yeah, so the most exciting part for this is to look at our dealers that are on mobile and see their retention numbers climb. CSI goes up, net promoter score goes up. Everybody's happier with the mobile experience. You just getting out of the starting gates is hard, but once you're out, once you're there, I'd say probably the hardest thing is staffing. But dealers will be shocked at how much easier it is to find, because if you're only looking for one mobile tech, you know, it's a lot easier than trying to find four or five in the main shop. I know that sounds crazy, but it's a change of pace. It's new scenery. And a lot of the people that we recruit, they just don't want to be inside of a building all day long, you know. And we're in the Midwest, in the summer it's hot, in the winter it's cold. When you're out there like on the road, you know, you get to kind of do your own thing. You're the master of your own domain. And so for us to be able to, you know, go out there and kind of develop that model for the dealer body has been tremendously helpful. Oh, so where we always recommend is start with recalls, start with the used car lots, expand to fleet. Fleet's huge for the domestic brands.
Okay.
Home services companies, you know, I'll sit there and I'll talk to a lot of dealers, and they're like, oh, well, we couldn't get ABC heating and cooling because they work with Jiffy Lube. I'm like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Like, why? Go ask why. Why do they work with Jiffy Lube? It's like, oh, because there's a Jiffy Lube like right around the corner. I'm like, buddy, you're taking the truck to the company. Like, what's more convenient than that? And then the dealer kind of looks at you like, oh yeah. So that's how you do it. And you know, you look at all of our rivals in the space, the Teslas, the Rivians, their core bread and butter for service is mobile.
Yeah.
And that's what you have. Like, we have to be thinking about this stuff in an EV world. I just saw today, actually, Tesla surpassed Audi in global car sales. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see that. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, Tesla's doing something right. And maybe that's an area. Mobile services is clearly an area where they found some success.
Wow. Okay. So what role do tools like, well, BusyCar play in supporting mobile service operations, especially again for smaller dealerships? Because we can talk about a large group. That's a no brainer. They can do this and they can withstand the pain and they can make mistakes, right? Because they're bigger and they can offset it a little bit more. But the smaller dealerships, I think they have to get it right.
Yeah. So by far the most important thing you got to do is you have to have a predictable revenue stream. If you're going to invest, you know, even $30,000 or $40,000 on a Rogue and an Escape and Honda CRV, whatever you're going to go with, or if you're going to go big, you're going to spend $80,000-$100,000 in like a Ford Transit 3500 or a Mercedes Sprinter van. That CapEx at the beginning, you got to know that you're going to have some revenue streams out of it. So the number one thing when I talk to dealers is the math has to pencil, right? Because dealers will try anything for 2 or 3 months. But if it's not working or if the brain damage is too much, like they'll stop, they'll quit. So number one is you got to have that predictable revenue stream. And the way we look at the world, that starts with recalls. But very quickly behind that, because eventually we want to get the consumers on board with this, is you got to have technology that's really simple and easy to use. And to us, that means starting with the customer in mind, right? Starting with the consumer. What are their pain points? Right. And for them, the biggest pain point that they feel is scheduling. How do I don't want to go online and like request a mobile service and then the dealership's got to get back to you. So we, with our scheduling, because we're integrated with real-time driving directions, with traffic conditions, we have all the opcode set up. We don't use capacity planning like you would have in Xtime or Dealer FX. Everything that we use is actual time, actual flat rate time, because we decompose all of that off of the technical service bulletins. So we're able to be really precise with this. And, you know, you're driving around, a lot of drive time is wasted. A lot of that technician time is wasted. So we provide tools to the dealers that make them really efficient. And it starts with scheduling. You got to give your technician a mobile app. They got to know where they're going, who they're talking to, where are the car keys, where am I meeting the customer. The consumer needs to be able to see things like, you know, where is my technician on a map? They're used to things like Uber.
And, yeah, right, like where's my pizza? Yeah.
Exactly. I ordered DoorDash for lunch for my kids on Saturday. And like, I could see where the little Chick-fil-A, you know, how far, like, where, you know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah. My wife was sick. So I was on lunch duty and I was like, oh my goodness. But yeah, I mean, when you can actually see, when your food is arriving or when your mobile tech is arriving, parts planning is really complicated. You know, you got to be able to make sure, does the mobile truck have parts on the vehicle? And you got to have controls in place. There's a lot that goes into this. And unless you're a dealer that's lived it like we have, you're not going to be able to invent anything that solves these pain points. You're just going to be, you know, swinging a bat in the air.
Man, I love all this. So preparation equals control. I say that all the time in my classes, right? So making sure before you leave today that you have all the parts you need for tomorrow, right? I love that. And can you make something that and sell it to Best Buy? Because today I was supposed to see them between 11 and 3. They call me at 2 minutes of 3 saying, hey, we're on our way. I'm like, I got other things to do. Like, I had no idea where you were, right? So I had to reschedule. But if I knew, like, hey, we're on our way, or like where's my pizza, that app would be invaluable to any business that's doing stuff outside of the store.
You know, it's funny that you say that. One of the biggest lessons we've learned with mobile repair, we're car dealers, but we're also involved in the HVAC business. And one of the lessons that we've learned from HVAC, you know, because all those appointments are mobile appointments, right? You're going to somebody's home.
Yeah.
One of the things that we learned is that if you tell the customer that you are running late, if you give them advance notice, so let's say, you know, Corey Smith's appointment is at 3 p.m. And if I tell you at noon that we're going to be late, you might be like, oh, okay, that sucks. But you're not like mad. You're not like annoyed. But if we want to make sure we're communicating that the right way. But if we show up 5 minutes late, you're like freaking pissed and you're giving a bad survey, low CSI, low NPS. So the technology has to be really dynamic and it needs to over communicate. And the way that we've designed our technology is if a technician's working on an appointment, let's say, you know, they're out at Susie customer's house and, you know, it turns out she wants like, I don't know, an extra cabin air filter installed, or she wants a rotate. She wanted some recall work done and now she wants a rotate. Well, now that technician's going to run behind. Well, the app needs to alert the next appointment that's happening. And so instead of relying on the technician, instead of relying on the service advisor, you know, et cetera, let the technology help you. And those customers, like, you know, you might be like, ah, kind of sucks that they're running late, but at least you know, and you can plan your day around that.
Okay. I like that. So we've been talking this new revenue stream, and some dealerships aren't doing it. But there are some risks and there's some challenges. What pitfalls should smaller dealerships watch out for, and how can they avoid them?
Yeah. So number one is mobile service is not just main shop on the road. That's just not the way that it works. Mobile service is a different type of service. So if you think about how most dealerships are set up, you have main shop, you have internals, you have express, right? That's how kind of the three major P&Ls, if you will, inside of a dealership. And I'm putting reconditioning as part of internals. Mm-hmm. Mobile service is another way of doing business. You have got to get your service directors buy-in to do this.
Okay.
They have got to want to do this. And if they don't, and you're not going to sit there and someone's got to be in charge. And there's a lot of times when I go and I talk to 20 groups, or I go and I talk to a dealer meeting, and all these dealer principals are nodding their heads like, yeah, we're going to do mobile. and then I come to their store a month later and they're like, yeah, mobile doesn't work. And I'm like, well, okay. A month ago you were high on the hog. Like what is it? He's like, oh yeah, you can't find the right people. And it's like, well, who was in charge of this? Did you go and talk to your service manager? Like, did you get buy-in from him? That is the number one issue, that I see why this fails, is there isn't a stakeholder who's bought in. And your parts manager might be okay, him and haul, your service advisor. But if that service manager wants this thing to die, he will die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I get that all the time when I teach the training for service advisors. Oh, that won't work in our market. Our customers won't like that. Right. And anything you say to them, right. But if you show them and then say, hey, I challenge you to take what you learned today and go do it tomorrow and then come back and report to me. They're all like, oh yeah, that worked. It is, you just need to try it, but it takes time, 90 days, 120 days, whatever that is. You've got to allot yourself that amount of time. And like you said, there is some risk involved, but if you don't look at it from a main shop point of view and start with these small little things, it all of a sudden becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. I get that. Okay.
Yeah. And I dealers can't be myopic about this, Corey. Like, there's a lot of dealers I go to and they bought the one service truck or the two service trucks and it's just sitting on the back lot. Like nobody's using it. It's like kind of shocking actually how often I see that. And then I go to their website and it's not even offered.
Oh gosh.
Okay. It's not even on the website as a thing. So like I go to click schedule and I'm like, well, wait a second. Where's your valet option? Where's your mobile service option? Oh, it's not on the website. Okay, well, like a third of your appointments are booked that way. And then like, let's go talk to your service advisor. How do you book a mobile appointment? Oh, we like put it on a spreadsheet. Nobody's bought in, like it's not going to work. And so what we really talk about a lot is when you come into store, if you want to launch mobile, got to have a predictable revenue stream. That's recalls. Like that's an easy place to start. Number two, you got to have technology that's really easy and simple and like understands it. Number three, you got to have executive level support. So that's the dealer principal has to sit down with that service manager. And then here's the hardest conversation. Why does the service manager give a shit if they're not going to get paid on it?
Right.
If there's no pay plan adjustment, if there's no bonus incentive, and that's where Ford's done a really good job. You're seeing this. Nissan's doing this too. They're putting a subsidy out there for dealers. Like you got to follow the money. And everything we do in automotive is about pay plans.
Yeah.
You want to go sell more blue sedans. You spiff the blue sedan, right? Like that's that's how you do it. You want to upsell on the service lane. You spiff the upsell. Like it's not rocket science. We just are not good at treating the service department the same that we treat these other departments. And it's just frustrating to me because there's so much opportunity, and maybe I'll go a little dark on you here, but like in an EV world, this has to happen. Like you have to have mobile as part of your EV strategy. So let me give you an example. The number one loss leader for almost every single dealership nationwide is the 30% off coupon for an oil change.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now oil is no longer in the car. So what are you doing? What's your strategy, Mr. Dealer, to get that customer back into your store?
They haven't thought that far ahead.
They haven't. And like, I'm watching what's going on in our industry right now. Customers demand this. Here's the way, what'd you say 5 minutes ago? Like this won't work in our market.
Yeah.
All right. Find me a market that doesn't have DoorDash or Uber Eats or Lyft or, you know, insert Amazon delivery. Like find me that market in the United States where that, you're right, that market, then it won't work.
Right.
Like rural Alaska somewhere. Okay. And sure. Though we do mobile repair in Anchorage. So I don't know how you're gonna have to really go remote. That's what's coming. And if dealers don't embrace convenience, you know, like buying a car is one of the least desired things for consumers to do. If we don't make mobile and just in general, the entire customer experience better, like people are going to defect. They're going to buy a Tesla. They're going to take the dealer out of it. They're going to buy a Rivian, or they're going to buy a product that gives them the customer convenience that they're demanding and looking for.
Yeah. What they're looking for. So Ryan, we're right up against the time here, but I want to take a look ahead. Do you see mobile service becoming a standard offering for dealerships?
I do. I really think, you know, there's kind of two answers to this question, Corey. One is, as a dealer, I think the industry needs to adapt. And I think every dealer in the next 3 years will have at least some form of mobile offering. So it might be one truck, it might be 50. But I think that consumers in an EV, you know, as EVs become more and more popular, it'll adapt. The second answer to the question is, I think you're going to have some dealers kicking and screaming, and they're going to, you know, try and sidestep mobile as long as possible. Maybe they do some valet first. Somehow that feels a little bit easier for them, but. You know, I think over time you're going to start to see massive adoption in this new way of doing business.
All right. Lightning round, Ryan, are you ready?
Let's do it.
What are your three takeaways in your mind anyone listening can take and put into action today?
Yeah. Number one is you can get up and running with mobile service at an extremely low cost, by focusing on recalls and simple technology. Two is if you're a dealer principal or you're a GM and you want to start mobile repair, you got to sit down with that service manager and talk to him on, you know, why this matters. Tell him, explain the why and give it an honest shot. And then the third thing is you don't have to go big right out of the gates. Like don't go out there and invest $150,000 in a truck. Start small. Make your mobile trucks, you know, start with an Escape, start with a Rogue, make it part of your parts runner van, make it part of your shuttle van, and start small somewhere, but just get started, and then you'll learn a lot and you can adapt from there.
There's a quote that says one day or day one, right? I'll do it one day or I'm going to start it today. And I'm just going to do
it. Great quote.
Right?
Sounds like an Amazon quote.
And it, Ryan, that was profound. I love those three takeaways. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah. So we speak a lot. We do a lot of stuff with the OEMs, our team's out and about, but you can always check us out online, www.bizzycar.com. That's BIZZYCAR.com. Well, we do email hello@bizzycar.com, hello@bizzycar.com. But we're around, we're on social media. We love talking about this stuff. And of course, anybody that listens to your podcast, we're out and about, and hopefully we get to do this again soon.
Absolutely. Are you going to NADA?
We are.
Awesome.
New Orleans this year, right?
Yes, New Orleans. Here we come.
Are you going?
I'm going. We should definitely link up.
Should do that. We should grab a coffee or a cocktail. New Orleans for NADA is always an interesting one. Vegas, you know what you're getting yourself into, but New Orleans is a different crowd.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Ryan. EasyCare is the total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator for F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Ryan, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll ask this last question, like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Count me back anytime. Looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.